It was amazing. So I typically work underwater, and this was a new experience for me as well. The way it works is they have a telepresence-enabled expedition, which means that there are two scientists on board the ship, along with ROV pilots and the entire crew, and there is a chat room where experts can log in from all over the globe and talk about the findings in real time, and then and in real time direct the ROV pilots and the scientists on ship to say, hey, this might be new, this might be interesting, can we collect this, can we take a closer look at that? And you can do it all from the comfort of your own laboratory or your own home. It's really amazing.
So tell me, first of all, about some of these possibly new species that have been found down there. What sort of species are we talking about?
Oh, mostly invertebrates. There's a whole lot of coral species, that deep-water coral species, some octocorals and some scleractinians. And, you know, whether or not they're truly new and what their species characterization will be will take a little while. It requires some collection and some review by experts globally. But there's so little known about the deep sea, and this area in particular is so underexplored that we are not surprised at all to be finding new species. And it's just, this is true exploration, where, our first glimpse, had a lot of experts saying, I've never seen that before, or that looks a little different from, what we typically see over here. And so I would bet there will be several dozen new species discovered from this particular expedition, mostly probably in the realm of some new echinoderms, some new corals, and some other invertebrate species that are new to science.
And I gather that the conditions that they're living in down there, well, I've seen the word pristine being used. And at a time when, of course, where there is global concern about the state of the oceans, this would appear to be one area, at least, which is as it should be.
That has been the most amazing thing. Elsewhere in deep sea exploration, we can see signs of anthropogenic impacts or human impacts everywhere. But in this particular spot, probably protected by its remoteness first and then, of course, by conservation measures, there was no evidence of human trash. So no bottles, no cigarette butts, no styrofoam, really nothing on the bottom of the ocean, and very old colonies of corals that were hundreds and in some cases probably thousands of years old, that indicated that this site has not been disturbed previously. And so I personally almost never use the word pristine because I think almost nothing is. But this was really astounding how there was really no signs of humans, which is a rare thing these days.
Are there lessons, therefore, that can be learnt from the levels of protection that have been put in place? I mean, as you said, the remoteness perhaps is part of the reason why the sea is in such good condition on this part of the planet, but protection surely will help and could maybe reverse some of the impacts we've seen elsewhere around the world.
Absolutely. So the Phoenix Islands Protected Area and the U.S., I should say, and Tokelau and many of the other areas in the Central Pacific are very interested in these kinds of questions, especially as the marine conservation movement gains more traction and there are large parts of the ocean protected. The Phoenix Islands was among the first very large marine protected areas. Of course, the Great Barrier Reef was the first, but followed by PIPA, and is still the largest and deepest UNESCO World Heritage Site. And when that protection was put into place in 2008, it was a phased and zoned protection that only fully became no-take January 1st, 2015. And that meant that these large areas of the deep sea and seamounts and open ocean were protected before we even had an idea, or Kiribati had an idea, of what really lived down there. And so this is a first glimpse, and it shows us that these are important spaces that truly are relatively pristine, or in some cases maybe in the deep sea actually pristine. And for the shallow water habitats, which of course are experiencing stress from climatological events, yes, this protection offers an opportunity to rebound and show some resilience, and for scientists to study at a whole ecosystem level and even across ecosystem levels how the deep sea and the shallow water and the open ocean environment can work together when they're protected without any influence from humans, which is really an exciting opportunity.
How much more do you think there is to be discovered within the Phoenix Islands protected area? Or is that a bit of a how long is a piece of string question? But I assume you could carry on looking and you would find more new species.
So for absolutely. So for us, that's really one of the most most amazing things about deep sea discovery is, you know, there's an underwater mountain chain in Pipa, in addition to in the Phoenix Islands, in addition to the eight islands and some of this deep water ocean environment. And there were eight dives, each lasting just a few hours. And it's akin to climbing an underwater mountain up one tiny little trail with look and being able to see nothing except for what you can see with a flashlight because you're going up at night. And so you really only have this small glimpse of all of this incredible deep sea habitat, and this is a really huge protected area. And so one of the most striking findings from this expedition is that every dive was so different. And so it's very hard to generalize that, oh, you know, the Phoenix Islands looked like this in the deep sea, because it looks like so many different things, and the answer to what those patterns and processes might look like can only come from further exploration. There is a lot more to explore.
Is there a way of opening up the area to the wider public in some way, in some form or other, or is essentially will this only ever be available to the select few such as yourself because of where it is and how difficult it is to get there?
You know, it's an interesting question, and I actually think that what just happened on this expedition was probably the widest public view that anybody could ever hope for, which was real-time exploration by anybody who wanted to log in. And so there was a five-second delay between what the scientists were seeing and what anybody could see when they logged into look at this deep sea expedition. And so the logistics of traveling to these remote spaces are complicated and expensive, but telepresence can enable audiences, large and small, young and old, and from any country in the world, to log in and really join the exploration and, you know, through social media, have real-time conversations with the scientists and participate in the dive. So I actually think that with new technologies, we're able to become more open than any of the traditional models, which is really exciting.